Welcome back to How I Got Through It. Today we're talking with Anna Del Castillo and Serena Jindal. 2 weeks ago, I did an episode with Serena and she raved about the work that Anna Del Castillo has been doing. And if you're unfamiliar with her work, Anna is a rightness expert and certified coach with over 20 years of experience working with both men and women who have great lives, but still feel like there's something wrong. She addresses their underlying source of suffering and creates a transformative experience for her clients so that they can own their own inherent rightness and feel vital and alive in their skin again. Let's get into the conversation with Anna Del Castillo and Serena Jindal. I've never had two people on the show, so welcome.
It's your first threesome.
My first threesome.
Great. We'll go in resonance. It'll be great. Yeah.
Speak for yourself. Awesome. I'm aggressive.
I should introduce you. You're Anna Del Castillo. You are a rightness expert and certified coach. And I know you through Serena, who's talked so highly about you. So first of all, tell me, what is a rightness expert?
Yeah, the shortest way I can talk about that is, or explain it is, you know how, and specifically I'm a woman's rightness coach. I work with men as well, but my Jimmy Jam is women. And you know how women, for the most part, wake up, even if your life is great, for the most part, we wake up every day like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Or something's wrong. What's wrong with me? What's wrong with them? What's wrong with like there's literally like a habit trail, like one of those wheels that goes on in our head. Mm-hmm. And there's something wrong. We're constantly on that treadmill. So my expertise is in quieting and ameliorating that sense of there's something wrong with me, there's something wrong with them, there's something wrong with my life, there's something wrong with the world. Mm-hmm. Quieting the brain so that actually we get into our own sense of who we are, like our own spine, our own strength, our own rightness, like mm-hmm. everything's right. I'm right. And not self-righteousness. I mean, like I'm good and right. The world is good and right. All is good and right, no matter what has happened. Mm-hmm. So I talk about it like a quiet brain and a lighter heart.
Yeah. And that's a really good way to move through the world, I think, right? Like as a woman, especially because a lot of things feel so heavy, you know, and you're right. Sometimes I wake up in the morning and I think, should I have ate that pizza or should I have said this thing or how does that voice note sound? Like all these dumb things, you know, the work that you're doing is very important because when I do look at men, they don't have to justify an action or justify saying something. They can say something in a boardroom and leave and feel completely fine and go on to the next thing. And women are deliberating on something that they had just said, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, men have their own conditioning and their own like right. challenges that they're up against, right? So this right. isn't about like men have it perfect and women don't.
Right.
And, you know, they're in some aspects that's true, but it's also true in the reverse as well. But there is definitely more room for men to show leadership and to get angry and to be in powerful positions and to speak up. Like they don't get as punished in the same degree that women get punished. Right. Like we have been conditioned to be for others before we are for ourselves all the time. And mm-hmm. so we're always thinking about how other people see us, feel about us, think about us. How are we like, we never really think about it as though we are the center of our own lives. We're always about how other people are responding to us.
Why do you think that is? Is it because of the mothering aspect of us or what is that?
Well, we are a Judeo-Christian nation and the Judeo-Christian philosophy and what women are born and bred to do is to raise children, have children, and support men. We're not even like star performers in the Bible. Mm-hmm. Like think about all the laws that have been changed, like our own sovereign bodily rights. Yeah. What can and cannot do is just taken away. If that had ever happened to men, there'd literally be like wars taking place, but women were just conditioned like deeply. It's in the water we swim in. It's mm-hmm. not even something that's overtly always talked about. It's just how it is. And so right. when you ask why, it's because
it's just the way things have been.
The way it is, you know?
Right, right, right.
And to not play by those rules is to be a bitch. If you own your sex, you're a whore. If you speak up, you're an angry bitch. You really have to know who you are to be up against the messages that you get ongoing for being someone who doesn't play by the rules.
Right, right. So Tell me, what is the work that you do with your clients?
Well, someone comes to me, give me an example. Someone comes to me and they are a woman who...
A woman who went on a date and felt like she sent in her representative instead of her authentic self.
So let's go a little bit further than that. And what she's finding is that she is a representative in life and that she feels numb, even though her life is really great. And she literally is like, life is happening to her, but because she's not actually present in her life, she doesn't even know where she is inside of her own system and her own body. Nothing touches her. She knows that she should be happy because she's gotten all the right things, but she's not. That's perfect. That's literally like, oh, come to mama. There's so many different ways that women have been conditioned to throw themselves under the bus. And then they all of a sudden bought the farm and they're like, I don't understand. Why am I not happy in this farm? Do you know? Mm-hmm. So that's one of the ways that it can show up about like, well, I got it. Now I don't understand. So how I work with someone like that is usually in that case, there is high anxiety. Because what's usually happening inside of a situation like that is the inner knowing is constantly telling the person, mm-hmm. like, hi, pay attention to me. But there's been such a long-standing behavior around ignoring that. Mm-hmm. And the tension between a person's real truth and the stepping over and the persona that we've created, the distance between that creates a lot of tension and anxiety. Mm-hmm. There's a war that happens. Mm-hmm. And so how I work with people is I find out, okay, where are we going to start? Mm-hmm. And how we start is usually just like, what's the loudest thing that's happening in your system right now? Mm. And then we start there. And then what happens is that inside, most of us, some of us, are telling ourselves how bad and wrong we are. Mm-hmm. Like, I should be, and I don't know why, and so, and if I have a feeling, that's a really problem thing, and I wish that I was just different, and I wish that I felt different, and I wish I could just do, like, it's that kind of dynamic that we're walking around a lot with. Mm-hmm. So what I do is I slow down the argument and all the different parts that are screaming mm-hmm. and are at influence. Mm-hmm. And then I just start isolating them. And really what I mean by isolating is paying attention. Like actually bringing love to each of the parts, acceptance, understanding. Mm-hmm. Most of the parts that are inside of us have never been listened to, have never been loved, have never been actually taken seriously. Sometimes it's so quiet and traumatized because the inner voice has been so abusive that the inner one on the inside is so beaten down. Mm-hmm. So we just follow the thread and start to unwind things. And then what that process does is that it strengthens the real being that we are, the truth of who we are, and it starts to fall away the one that's not who we are. Mm. I try to do it in as gentle way as possible. You can do plant medicine, that's pretty aggressive. And to all those who do plant medicine, more power to you, do it if you feel pulled for it. I've done it, but you can't do that every single day. Some people do, that's a really aggressive way, but I try to do it in connection and gentle, mm-hmm. gentle.
If somebody's listening to this and they've never even thought about that inner voice, it's just constantly judging every single thing that they do. I do actually have friends like this that are not seekers. They're not actually thinking about what is happening on the inside of their body or what is happening in their brain, or they don't know that this is a voice that they're hearing and this is not them, right? So if someone's listening to this and they've never thought about the voice that keeps narrating their life to them in their head, what can they start to do to quiet that voice? Because you talk about a more settled brain and a lighter heart. So what can they start to do?
Well, there are people in this world that don't have that voice.
Actually,
I'm not one of them.
Okay.
But it's not a large percentage, but there are people. So if you're listening to that and you're going, what voice? The one that just said what voice is the voice. So I just wanted to say that. That's the voice we're talking about. If you have one that only speaks up or is only loud in certain circumstances, or if you have one that's loud all the time. Mm-hmm. The way to work with that I'll give you a specific thing to do. If you've never done anything like this, there's two things. Take out a notebook, take out a piece of paper, and just find out where the first, like the loudest voice or the loudest noise is, and just close your eyes and go, okay, what does it look like? What color, if it had a color, what kind of color would it have? Just sort of get to know it a little bit. Come up with a name. Shouldn't be a name that you know. And then you ask the thing it's talking to, where are you? Who are you? Ask the same sort of curious questions and then let them talk to each other and you just watch. Just write down the conversation back and forth and see the dynamics that are at play. If you're not someone who can write, if you're not someone who like has that kind of thing, if they're impatient or whatever, I would do it in chairs. Just put two chairs across from each other and just literally sit in one and just like, you don't really like to say words. It's you're still not comfortable with that. Close your eyes and just make a noise. If what kind of noise would it make? What you want to do is make the background come forward. It's your context. All of us are walking around with a fuck ton. Can I curse here?
Yeah, yes.
A fuck ton of context. And we bring that to life unconsciously. And so these are two sort of simple, not really simple, exercises to bring some of the context forward and to see the characters that are inside of you playing out their drama in your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good point, actually. It's how I started to find my own voice by journaling. And I still do it in the morning. What's going on with you today, Anna? I hear it as like a third person for myself. What's going on in there? And then I handle my day based on whatever happens after my journal session.
I have to say this, my love, that's not common. That's really beautiful. That's in genuine relationship to yourself. And you listen.
Yeah.
You listen. Yeah. You've cultivated that.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we do a meditation together after, me and myself. And it's great. I had a really good session this morning. Yes. And I make it like the first part of my day because I live with myself first before anything else that happens. And
I'm going to say something to that. Oh my God, it's beautiful. What you're saying is I want to kiss you on the mouth when you say things. Like literally like high five you through the screen. Are you married? Do you have someone in your life?
No.
Unless someone can match or surpass that deliciousness, they're not allowed in your space.
Yeah.
If they don't add, they're not allowed.
Yeah.
No one comes between you and your relationship with yourself. No one.
Yeah.
Okay. We can move on.
Thank you though. I really appreciate it. I feel it through the screen actually.
Yeah.
This podcast is called How I Got Through It. Listening to you and hearing how powerfully I think you speak and how confidently you speak about owning your own power, I know that something must have happened to also get you to this point. And while I know it's probably an entire story, what was the first thing that happened to you that made you go, I need to find my fucking voice, or I need to make a change?
I can give you the whole entire story, but I'm going to really like make it as succinct as possible.
Yeah. Okay.
I had one of those lives that was legitimately traumatizing, starting at 5 years old, going through my life with my father. There was a lot of physical, sexual, there was violence. There was just all that, there was all of that starting at five.
Mm-hmm.
I had the usual things that happen to one's psyche when you go through something like that. You can either go in one of three directions.
Mm-hmm.
One is needing to be admired, one is needing to be loved, and one is needing to be safe. Those three things, depending on some of the ways that your upbringing plays itself out. I went through schizoid, which was the third one, needing to be safe. And then when things got really, really bad, I went to the narcissistic adaptations. And I would have stayed like that for a long time. I was getting therapy. I was not doing well for a while, but I'd finally gotten some therapy and was doing what and had been able to sort of build my persona up again, a defensive measure. And mm-hmm. It was a pretty good one. I was dynamic. Who I am now is not that far away from that person, except that I have compassion. And then a really large trauma happened in my life. There's no good way to say this. So I'm just going to say this, and it's a big thing. But my father and my brother were both murdered in a gangland style killing, like tortured. And that really tore my house, like tore whatever it was that I was functioning with, tore it down. And I had nothing left. Mm-hmm. And I went back to some of the basic adaptations, and I'd added some, like panic disorder. Like I was like an equal opportunity disordered human, you know? Mm-hmm. So when I talk about the experience of not being good in your own mind, in your own heart, in your own skin, I am not talking about it from a conceptual theoretical place. I am talking about it from the, not just the ground, but from about 20 feet below ground up. Mm-hmm. I pulled myself and got myself together before the internet. I'm 55, so it's I had to figure it out before trauma information was out there at the ready. I just knew at a certain point I was done. I was tired of living like I wanted to die every single day.
Yeah.
And I said to myself, if I gave myself, I remember for a number of years after their deaths, I was like, I'm so tired of waking up every single day like I want to die. So you know what? If you want to die today, go die. And I gave myself, I just sort of was like, do it. I don't care. I'm just going to take my hands off. I was living in New York at the time and was wandering around. It was around Christmas time. And I bought a little tree. I just randomly, without any thought, I just bought a tree and bought little like ornaments and lights and stuff like that and sat down and put it together and looked at the tree. And I was like, huh, I guess I don't want to die. And the next day I thought, I have to figure out how to bring my parts home. I thought in that moment, I had this commitment where I was like, I don't know how I'm going to do any of this, but I'm going to do it. I have to figure out how to do stuff somatically. And so I started doing all kinds of weird shit. And then I would go back to gestalt therapy, like almost a decade, to digest all of that stuff. I would learn modalities. I would train stuff to recreate neuronal pathways that had just been obliterated or never created. And I remember the moment I felt love for the first time. I remember the moment I felt empathy. Like I recreated pathways, neuronal pathways and experiences that literally weren't in existence. Mm-hmm. And so when you ask me like how, I'm like, I do not want to recreate that for people. It's not possible. It's not a scalable thing. And so mm-hmm. I'm always looking for like great hacks that have people do what is essentially challenging work, recreating neuronal pathways that weren't there. Mm-hmm. And also interrupting patterns that have already been like well grooved. That's not an easy path, mm-hmm. but it certainly is worth it. And so I'm always on the lookout for how do I do that for people? They can recreate. They're not going to need me indefinitely. I love loving people and I love mothering people, but trust me when I tell you, I'd not have children for a reason. Like I don't want someone for the rest of my life. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I want to teach people how to fish. I don't want to like have them be dependent on me to fish for the rest of their lives. And so that is the, believe it or not, short version of a very long story.
Yeah. Yeah. Why don't people take this path? I was thinking about this morning because I think ever since I was like 14, I have every single thing that has come up. I'm like, let me read a book. What is this? I'm always like, what is this that I'm feeling? Ever since I was young, I was the only child for a while until my sister came along. And so I had no choice. I was born in Barbados. So we didn't have a lot going on. We had to sit outside, like, you know, and just play in the garden or whatever. And I remember growing up and always thinking, what did that feel like for me? And reading books, trying to figure it out. I think because of that, I'm always returning to myself. And I bring this up because I look at either other people in my family that things have compounded because they're not dealing with it as it comes up. Why don't people take that step? Because I guess when I look around, I'm like, how can you not take the step? Mm-hmm. But I understand that it's very difficult because it feels difficult for me when I'm doing it in the moment. You're like in the thick of it, right? Mm-hmm. And I can understand that. But I also know the long game that I'm playing. But why don't you think people take that step? When you meet people, because this is your line of work, why don't they take that step to go in when things happen in the moment that it's happening? Is it too painful? Is it too hurtful?
Yeah, I first want to acknowledge you. You have a superpower, and not a lot of people have a superpower. And your superpower is like a gift. You are given the gift of self-reflection and curiosity. And not everybody has that. And so, like, that is one of those poof, like the universe, you're going to walk into this world and poof, you're going to be given that. So I just need and want to acknowledge that.
Thank you.
And having said that, it's even hard for you with those gifts and those superpowers.
Yeah.
Why is it hard for you, do you think?
Because I'm a very deeply feeling person. And in the moment that something's happening, it hurts. It physically hurts my body. It hurts my heart. But I know somewhere deep inside of me, I know that I'm not going to feel like this forever. I have my back and I actually have to feel this pain. And I'll take one for the team now, because I know that 5 years from now, I don't want to feel like this. And if I learn what this is or learn how to navigate this landscape, maybe I'll find a clue that'll help me the next time around.
You can't really see, but I have tears behind my eyes. Okay, so you have cultivated, again, this is one of those like gifts. It is a power. You have cultivated a self that has the ability to do the hard thing because it's the loving thing. You've cultivated in real time, boots on the ground, self-love. I know you don't like this medicine right now, but I love you enough, big mama inside of you, to take care of the little one that's like, I don't want to, it's too scary, I don't want to, please don't. You have that. Imagine someone who didn't have the latter, only had the former. They didn't have something on the inside that could, they didn't even have a self. They just have pain. They just have avoidance. They just have a sense that whatever it is, whenever I've even looked at that, it is so excruciating that I will do anything in my power to avoid that. Drink, scream, defend, sex, drugs, whatever. That's why people don't. I certainly didn't because of that. I just didn't have the capacity. I didn't even have a self. You have one. You are ahead of the game. You know, we talk about the legacy of being born with and how you're already ahead of the game because you've had generations of wealth. You have wealth that you came into the world with because of that.
Yeah, I think so. Because I can also have great empathy and compassion when I look at another person because I know how difficult it is and I know how hard it is and I can get it why they wouldn't want to do it. But I always am like, but it is worth it to run into the fire. Like there's no space in between. Should I run into the fire? I'm like, yes, yes, you should. Yes, go there, do the thing, feel the feelings.
There's real benefit to it. That's why we're not doing it, because we're freaking sadists and masochists. There's the real benefit. Like Anna said, she had split pieces inside of herself due to all the trauma, like we all have. We don't want to feel this way anymore. We don't want to feel disjointed. We don't want to feel ungrounded. We don't want to feel alienated from ourselves. Especially as women, our connection to our bodies is our connection to everything and all things. So to feel that disconnect, it's so jarring, and it's such a hard home to live in. And as you said, I have to be with myself every day and all the time. So why not make that a peaceful experience for all the days that I live?
Yeah.
So facing the fire, it allows for that peace. That's why we do it, is because we feel the disconnect. I think we're all ultimately going towards peace, right?
Yeah, so I want to add something to this. This is such a rich conversation. I'm so grateful we're having it. Very rarely do I get to have these kinds of conversations. So this is a gift. Some people don't have much of a self cultivated. And so to get quiet is to be with just pain. That's all there is. And so there isn't like a safe space inside. There isn't some like larger home or some being or some strength. That's what I cultivate right in it. Like the sense of being like in your own body, your skin, your spine, where regardless of the noise, there's always a place that's like, no, I'm here. And that stillness exists in here. But some people are walking around with none of that. So they can't do that process alone. They actually need a Sherpa to do that with. Because if you do it on your own, you're just going from suffering to suffering to suffering, from defense pattern to defense persona to defense persona, and you don't really know, and you're just like in the same patterns over and over and over again, and you don't know why, and you're like, it can be a sort of version of hell to be inside of. And so what we're talking about is high level health, where some people are walking around with not so high level health. And there's nothing, that's not to say better or worse. It's just some people have, like, I don't know, longer hair, and some people have shorter hair. Like, you can't do a ponytail. Like, it's just the things that are in your own psychological bank. Mm-hmm. It is not as easy as spend quiet time with yourself if you don't have a self. Mm. And I know that that sounds weird and meta, but if you've never really had a quiet place before, or it's happened weirdly and you don't even know how to recreate it, mm-hmm. you're like asking a fish to ride a bicycle.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
And the process to that is super painful, and nobody wants to go through that pain, especially alone. Mm-hmm. Like, truly. And if you don't understand what that is, you will go mad. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And yet we're saying it's the worthy work, which sounds really crazy, right? Like, just...
it's the necessary work. What are we doing here? It's the necessary work. And we can't push people. That's why I'm like, try everything. If you have some, where it starts is, I'm tired of being unhappy. I'm tired of I can't do this anymore. I can't. So many people come to me. I know when someone's serious is because they have some sort of bottom that has happened on the inside. No one comes to me because I have some people who are like, things are pretty good and I want to do better and I want to do greater. Then I'm like, wow, that's rare. Do I get to play in that kind of field? Woo. But for the most part, people are like, that persona, that thing needs to die. We have to birth like who I actually am. And that's a process that I know how to hold and process really well. Mm-hmm. But people don't come to that happily. They come to that kicking and screaming. You know, it's like 12-step work. It's like, but it's not, it's like your 12-step work is a little different in that this is, I like, it's mothering and then creating a mother or a father inside of you that's loving as opposed to the one that you have inside.
How does somebody, would someone start by to create themselves or create a self by what you said before, journaling? How does someone, if they're listening to this, and because I'm always thinking about the person that's listening to this, that's not here on their journey, but they're walking around in New York City or something, knowing, I know there's better. I feel that there's better. I don't know what to do.
So many of us walk around trying to fix prescriptively. I'll lose weight. I'll get the guy. I have the money. Like, if I have the job, if I have the looks, if I have the weight, if I have all these things, then I will be happy. Mm-hmm. But then you get it and you're still on the treadmill because it didn't fix the thing. It's very hard to see it for what it is, because everyone is inside that delusion. And also everybody's being influenced. So you get punished. Like, there's a lot of pressure. So that's one thing. Okay. So a lot of us are looking for prescriptives. If I do this, then it'll fix. I'll do the right book and then blah, 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 blah. But very few of us take seriously the part of us that's like, I'm just unhappy. Or quiet desperation. There was that song in the book which we talk about, like, the way so many people in America feel a quiet desperation. Or you see the woman on the street corner or in the bathroom who's just crying, you know, it's like the crying woman, because mm-hmm. she's just been doing everything and is just unhappy. So what I'm suggesting inside of this is to dare for a moment, I don't even care how long, try 5 minutes, locating where your unhappiness is or dissatisfaction or or what's that feeling? Or I feel numb, or I feel disconnected. A lot of people are walking around disconnected, like they're on an island and no one knows them. Mm-hmm. Where's the disconnection in your body? Where is it? Instead of shoving it down, instead of trying to fix it, instead of trying to pretend it's not there, instead of making it wrong, instead of all those things, if you can, there's no wrong if you can't. This is just a suggestion, like a trying on a hat and seeing if it fits you. If you can, on a certain level, turn towards it. Look to see what it is. Where are you? Who are you? What have you been trying to tell me? Just be curious. If it doesn't speak and it's just a feeling, sometimes it's so throttled that it can't even make coherent words. Get the thing that's been shoved down, start to let it make room for it. Mm-hmm. If all of those things sounds too threatening, I'm going to even start a little slower. Write down things that you've always loved, that you don't let yourself do anymore because you're too busy, because it's not in your diet, because it's whatever, because that was when you were a kid, because you've got too many responsibilities. I don't give a shit. Mm-hmm. You used to love ice skating? Write down that you used to love ice skating. You love butter pecan ice cream? Write down that you love butter pecan ice cream. God, I always wanted to be a singer. Write down that you want to be a singer. I always wanted to be an adventurer. Write down that you wanted to be an adventurer. If it's even smaller, I've always wanted to buy one of those caftans. Like, I don't care what it is, write it down. And then do the smallest thing possible that you can dare to do. Create a little dent in your perfectly, like, made life that is perfect on the outside for other people, but doesn't actually touch you on the inside. Start actually creating little things that reflect who you actually are, that you stepped over for all the reasons. I'm sure they're good reasons. I'm 100% certain they're good reasons. If you have children, that's a great reason. Mm-hmm. You have a husband, a family, people are sick, so whatever. All of those are really great reasons, and I'm still going to advocate for you here. Even inside of those impossible stories you have. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Pick one small thing, I don't care what it is, and blow on the smoke of that and start to build the fire of who you are.
Beautiful. That's really practical and useful. I have a list like that too I made. We must have met in a past life or something. I have a list that all these things. I like drive in movie theaters. I like to sing. You know what I found when I wrote my list out is that I got to know myself. I was like, oh, I forgot I liked that. And there's some mornings I get up in the morning and I'm like, oh, what do you want to do first? You know, you want to go to the beach? You want to walk? What do you want to do? And then I hear whatever my answer is. And then I go do that thing. And
I want to say something about this. So I want you to feel the difference between, for all of you that are listening to Bhavna speak. Okay. Bhavna, how long have you been doing this?
5 years.
5 years. And you've been on the self-inquiry, self-looking path. How long before that?
I would say since I was like 16.
Great. So you've been doing this for a while now. Okay. You could feel her, for those of you who are watching, you could feel the quality of her still, like you could feel her as she's speaking. You could see the light of her. Like there's a lot of her that comes through in her eyes. I'm talking about you as though you're not here, but I'm speaking or listening. There's a lot that's like she's coming and she's measured and still, but there's still life. It's not back, it's forward. That's because she did something. She started somewhere. This, what you're seeing, is the end result of something that she started 20 or more years ago. Like if she, let's say, had a twin, and the twin, she decided to do this, but the twin decided to, you know what, I'm going to start to, I don't know, I would say drink, but let's say something that's a little bit smaller. You know, I'm going to start dating people. Oh, and then if they tell me that I'm ugly, I'm going to start working out because I think I'm ugly. Oh, if I start doing this, then I'm going to do this thing. Do you understand there's two different paths? One might on the surface, let's say your twin might on the surface look super thin, have the right thing, but she's like gritting her teeth and she's miserable on the inside and she's like popping pills and so on. So she has literally created a life that's so far from who she is because she's been listening to the thing outside and believes that. But Bhavna didn't do that. Bhavna was like, me, I'm curious. Let me read a book. What's going on? She actually started to reorient herself from the inside out. The reason why I say all of that is because I don't care where you are, start there. You are looking at Bob Nahu. You've heard my story. You heard my story. I came from a long deficit of stuff, but it had to start somewhere. Start somewhere. You're worth it. I swear with everything that I am that you are worth the investment. Start at 2 seconds, start at 10 seconds after that, then start at 20 seconds, then start, just start somewhere and keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. I read on your website a couple of days ago that one woman's freedom is every woman's freedom. And that's exactly what we're talking about here. You're worth it. When I read that, something on the inside of me, just like, I was like, that's it. Yes, that's it. That's why we do this, because one woman's freedom is everyone's freedom. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I could talk to you for, and there's so much more that I want to talk to you about. I feel like maybe we might have to have you back on, but I also wanted to get into your work because I know what you're doing with Serena is very important, very impactful. And I hear about some of it when I talk to her. Can you share a little bit about what you guys are doing together and the type of work that you're doing?
I'm going to let Serena answer this.
Yeah.
So for some context, Anna, on two separate points in my life, knows me more intimately than anyone else in my life. She knows my insides more than anyone in my life. But what I'm actually talking about is she knows the parts of me that have not had a voice, that haven't seen the light of day, that I didn't even recognize, that I was shutting down. And she's conjuring them up and providing a very, very safe space for them to be heard, sensed, nurtured, cherished, owned, and brought back home. And so the two different times I'm talking about is back circa 2017. She and I were in this women's group, this pod of five other women. And so this was our work. We had conversations like this every week. And then we were connected on WhatsApp and we spoke to each other. Every conversation was like this. It was light bulbs. Anna was the first person in my life to let me really feel that I'm actually smart. And it was at the age of 33. And I had no idea that I was actually an intelligent human. She was the one who brought that out of me. And when she first dug that out of me, she's like, she just looked at me and I didn't say anything to her. And something in her told her to tell me, she looked me right in the eyes over Zoom. And she said, you know, you're smart, right? You're very intelligent. And this part in me that believed so strongly, so deeply that it wasn't smart came back. And she just sat there and she held space. And she just sat there and I was so angry. I was like, how could you say this? This part in me was so mad. How could you say that? What are you talking about? That's not true. How could that be true? I've been told that's not true. So mad, so mad, so mad. And she just held it and she held it and she held it. And then I got to the other side of it. And I said, what the hell was that? What was that? And that was my first experience of the treasure that lays on the other side of going, moving through a part, moving through a feeling. I had no idea that there's actual treasure there. Mm-hmm. From that moment forward, it opened up and I truly believed. And to this day, I'm hell yeah, of course I'm smart. Of course I'm smart. So that is a snippet of what we did together in 2017. Now come to now, I had a reckoning a couple months ago. It was shortly after my 40th birthday, and call it any number of things you want to call it. A midlife awakening, as Bhavna put it. I called it a crisis. She said, oh, it's an awakening. And I felt a lot of stuff crash. I hit this deep level of apathy, this deep level of burnout, this deep level of feeling disconnected from everything and all things, while also showing up for my clients as a coach, as a public speaking coach. So there was this very jarring disconnect that I had with myself, with my surroundings, and with my world. I call Anna and I said, are you coaching? She said, yes. And I said, please be my coach. And so this is what she does. She said, I Sherpa women. I Sherpa anyone who wants to do it, mostly women, to get to their rightness. Let's bring back your parts. Let's bring your parts home. And so the work that we've been doing is every week we have a call. And she says, okay, who wants to show up today? And then I close my eyes and we go in. We go in, we go so in. And I show up with the one of the first sessions was there was a war happening between, I guess in generic terms, if you want to call it my doer and my, what would you call the other part, Anna? The one that's being
the resigned one who just wants to.
Yeah, the resigned one. And so my doer was like, I have to send the emails. I'm the one that has to open up the bank accounts. I'm the one that has to move us from apartment to apartment. And we have to keep going because I'm the one holding ship. Like who do you think pays the bills? That. And then the resigned was, I cannot do this anymore. I am tired. I can't do this anymore. And the other one was like, well, who's supposed to do it then? Who's supposed to do it? And it was a war. And it was such a war that Anna had to take the voice of the other one that said, listen to me, I cannot do this anymore. And so this battle was happening inside of me. And she held space for it. She brought it to light. We talked through it to where then after we were able to talk through these parts and say, well, this part wants this to happen. This part needs this to happen. Where do we meet in the middle? How do we balance all of it? And then what was starting to happen was my anxiety started going down. My depression started going down. I felt way more at peace, way more comfortable. I started making decisions in my life to move me towards inner peace, one of which was come back to North Carolina and be in front of lake seawater. And as soon as I did that, my whole body relaxed. This was decision-making coming from the deepest part within me that said, this is what we actually need. This part may be saying, you need to go do this and da-da-da, but what we actually need right now is this, which will lead you to all the things you actually want in life. So the work that we're doing is uncovering all of this to where we go so deep in it. When we finish the session, she has to go, okay, breathe and feel the clothes on your skin, hear the sounds in the room. Because when I open my eyes, it is so jarring to remember that I am actually in this place right here and right now, because we were somewhere else.
I mean, the fascinating thing about you, Serena, is that you have one of the most rich inner worlds I've ever had luxury on a certain level to explore with. You know, you're just someone who has like a really deeply rich inner world. And so when we go into these, like all these places and all these people and all this stuff, and to bring them out is really lovely. But paying attention to the places that haven't been, let me ask for not just for you all, but for the people who might be listening. If you have children or yourself, when you feel desperate and you're not being heard, what's the experience like? You want to scream. You have a pain and everyone's ignoring you or making you feel like you should shut the fuck up. You sort of want to die. And so what this work is to turn towards all those places that have been told to shut up and to be like, no one's going to tell you to shut up. You get to speak. And not only do you get to speak, but you get to be heard and you got to be taken seriously. And we're going to make a life that looks and feels like you.
It is so freeing to be able to speak words from any place and piece of yourself and not be made wrong.
Yeah.
When is that ever available to us?
Eventually it like gets brought up so that you have the goodness in you. You can speak to yourself. You can actually hold yourself. You can actually be with yourself. You can do this process so that you can have that in your life ongoing. So that's some of the work that we do.
Some of the work that we do. Just a small little tidbit. Like I said, I could talk to you guys. And I feel like, I mean, if your schedule allows, Anna and Serena, I would love to have you guys back on. To maybe do a part two of this, because I feel more to talk about harnessing your voice. I'm in that part. It's my own curiosity. Shamelessly, I'm saying
what I would love to do ideally is to actually do, this is a big conversation. I feel like we did a good chunk of it, but what I would love to do is to do so that people could see it in action. And Serena, we could do it with you, but I would love to do it with you, Bhavna, about your own voice, like just a truncated thing, just something small that we could just arc through, and I could show you and others what the process is like.
Yeah, yes. I think that'd be great, because I do have, like, I went to Whole Foods and I said something to the guy there, and I came home and I was like, am I too far on the bitch scale? Like, I'm not sure what's going on. Like, I've been harnessing my voice for so much that I think that anything, that I can just say anything. I'm not sure what's happening. So yes, it'd be a great conversation to have for sure.
Great. I'm game.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you guys for spending your time with me. I really appreciate everything that you shared today, Anna and Serena, for being so vulnerable and being so honest and being so raw. And we'll schedule something for you guys to come back because I don't want this conversation to end.
Yeah. Thank you for the rich conversation.
Yeah. Thank you. Have a great rest of the day.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.